Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. And now I want to give you some ways that you can connect with us and interact with us. Our podcast website is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog address is aclosereloukouat.roniezone.com. Our new email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our voicemail line is 657-333-0626. Our Twitter address is @OUATpodcast. If you want to reach us on Facebook, our Facebook fan page is facebook.com/OUATpodcast. And our new forum is forum@onceuponatimepodcast.com. So thank you for connecting to us and interacting with us. And now, on with the show. Welcome, everybody, to our live Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. My name is Jeff Roni. I forget to say that, I guess.
You do indeed.
Sorry.
And I'm Colleen Roni, of course.
So we're gonna try this live train one more time.
Yeah, let's see how it does.
So this is a podcast that's about the television show Once Upon a Time. And yeah, we need to find out how to mute the mic early on. So anyway, sorry about that. And the pops are still popping, so I need to look into that.
Right, but that's just people logging in or making comments.
Yeah, they're making comments and all.
Okay.
That's so cool. Yeah, we're going to try some different things this time, and I really wanted to see how interactive we could get. So
okay. That's
really the key to this. Did you want to say anything? You're knitting again.
I am knitting again.
So
I am knitting again.
I'm just kind of giving everyone a little color of what's happening behind the scenes.
That's fine. That's the whole point of the show, right?
Right.
Okay. No, I don't have any commentary or anything to say. Let's just move on. How about that?
Okay. So we have a number of people on Twitter, and we have a number of people that are using the Mixlr little chat box.
Okay.
So,
well, unfortunately, I can't see the Mixlr chat box.
Right.
So you're going to have to monitor that one for me a little bit.
I think I can.
Okay. But I can check Twitter, and I'm keeping it going, so.
So let's read some emails.
Great idea.
We have some fantastic emails tonight.
Lady.
Manny. Hey, Manny. What's going on, man?
Yo.
Manny's a funny cat. He gave Ken a request to take a photo, and he did it in the form of Mission Impossible. It's pretty funny.
Nice.
Pretty funny. So a first email is from Kari.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Is it Kari or Carrie?
K-A-R-I?
Yeah. Sometimes it's Kari. Yeah.
Carrie?
Sometimes it's Carrie. I don't know. Some people pronounce their names different every time. I just thought I'd open that up because, you know, I don't want to mispronounce somebody's name. I always feel bad when I do that.
Yep. So the email is, I just wanted to drop you a line and tell you how much I love your podcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
My husband likes Once Upon a Time as well, but doesn't like to rehash everything. Just like Lost. He liked it, but I liked it. So so listening to your show fills my need of rehashing. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate the time you two take to make this podcast. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much. Carrie or Kari. We really appreciate it. And there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes, so it's going to get much better and better.
Well, and here's a little secret, too. We both watched Lost, and we both liked Lost, but I liked Lost, and you liked Lost more than I did.
That's true.
I loved it. I thought it was a great show, but I was also not terribly interested in rehashing everything. So,
yep. I listened to the Lost podcast more than you did. So
you definitely did.
So the next email is from David B. Hey, David B.
Hey, David.
And his email said, in an earlier episode, okay, the question is, how come Henry can't figure out who Mr. Gold is? Yes. In an earlier episode, Henry admitted to Emma he didn't know who Mr. Gold is. Then in a later episode, Henry tells Emma that Mr. Gold is worse than his mother. So, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is it's not to say that I think where I would kind of maybe go with this is that, okay, so he doesn't know who he is in fairy tale world, but he understands based on the fact that he's seen the repercussions of what, I guess, Mr. Gold has done. He is convinced that he's worse than his mother. That's all I can think of. Mm-hmm. I don't think he really does know who he is, although I think that's hilarious because he's a sharp kid. He should be able to figure that out.
Yep.
That's my peeve.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you have this situation where, you know, you think that people, you know, in a certain position should know more, but right. They only probably know certain things.
Right.
And that's a valid point because he has the book and he knows about everybody else, but he's just not sure about Mr. Gold. So that's a valid point.
Exactly. It's kind of like, dude, seriously? Come on, you're a smart kid. Figure it out.
And David B. brings up a brilliant point, something that I've been thinking about for a long time.
Okay.
Is he was talking about the distance between Storybrooke and Boston.
Yes.
And he said in the last episode, the mayor expected Emma to drive the two kids to Boston from Storybrooke, Maine. And if you look on the map of Maine, you'll see that Portland is only about 100 miles to Boston.
Okay.
So maybe Storybrooke is around the same distance or less. And that's a valid point is, I mean, where does Storybrooke kind of fit? Is it on a map? Is it not on a map? We don't, you know? It's one of those questions.
Yeah. We don't know what the closest town in Maine is because it could be Bangor. Could be Portland, you know?
Yep.
There's a few other big towns I can't think of off the top of my head, but I do know those two are main towns. So.
You're not going to.
What?
Are you going to read any emails?
Yeah, I've got them. I just figured I'd let you run through your stack.
Okay.
That'll give me time to kind of, you know.
Helga, you have ruined my wife. She is a knitter now. She's knitting like crazy.
Yes.
She knits all the time.
I do. I love it.
Well, all right. It could be a lot of different things. I'm glad it's knitting.
Yeah, I could be. I'm not going to say what I was
okay,
going
to say. Okay, then.
Go ahead.
Let's not do that. Okay, the next email is from Brian, and he's from Dallas, and it says, what happened to Frederick is in an upcoming episode. And Brian says, hi, Jeff and Colleen. I'm a longtime listener. First time email. I download every podcast you record and listen to them repeatedly. Bless you, my son. That is,
that's
I don't
fantastic
know.
News.
I mean, that's great, but it's, you know, thank you so much.
We're glad it brings you happiness.
Well, yeah.
Seems to.
Or a Purple Heart or some type of award, you know, but thank you very much. Thanks. And it says, in your last podcast, you mentioned King Midas and Frederick. And he gave a link to an upcoming episode.
Yes.
And it's a spoilery link, so we're not going to really talk about that. But it is coming up, and that's important because we had wondered about Frederick and what was going to happen.
No, that's true.
So thanks for all you do. It's very much appreciated, and we thank you for that, Brian. I'm a dedicated oncer, and in the beginning, I would visit 7 or 8 episodes to follow the show. So it's great to have one blog and podcast that all the fans would love, And with your current connections to Steveston and cast members, I think your site is only second to NBC. But that's my opinion. Thanks again, Brian. That's very humbling. We appreciate it. And we're really trying to be different and do some kind of out-of-the-box things.
Right.
And we've been very, very lucky thus far. So
we've got really good people to help us.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's why we're able to do what we do. And by the way, Helga Marista just said, there are more expensive ways she could be spending her time.
Oh,
she's
yes.
right.
That's true.
Of all the hobbies and things that I've heard of people doing craftiness wise, this is one of the least expensive ways to do it. And it's therapeutic. So it's a benefit no matter how you look at it.
That's true. No, it's fine. It's just different. That's all.
Yes.
So
you're not used to it. And I'm very obsessed with it right now.
No, I said, if I said NBC, I was wrong. I meant to say ABC from Brian's email. Sorry
yes,
about that.
It's ABC.
No. ABC. My mistake. Another one. Somebody write it on the list. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, wait a second. That doesn't
sorry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just me. That's all
you
I can
are.
Be. So the next email is from Christina. It said, oh... and I was curious about the Snow White Cinderella timeline. Lots of folks are. You're not the only one. So I looked at the wedding ball scene in episode 4, and I saw that Prince Charming was wearing his wedding ring. So it seems that Snow and Charming were married.
Oh, yay. That's good information because we didn't know. We were kind of going back and forth thinking they might be, but we just didn't have any evidence. But it seems that if he's wearing his wedding ring, I think that's proof.
Yep. Excellent.
Yes. Very nice.
Thank you very much. Now, the next email is from Nat. And this email said, I just wanted to send a quick theory regarding 7:15 a.m. The scene where we saw James's father talking to Snow, he had told her that she had to go to James' room and tell him she was not in love with him. When she got there, she called him James. The whole time we first met them in Snow Falls, she had called him Charming. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, call me James. My name is James. And she said,
no,
yeah.
Charming's, I like Charming better.
Yep.
And you know, it's funny is I actually, not to interrupt, but I actually did make a mental note of the fact that she called him James. It was almost too formal. And I think he may have picked up on that.
Yep.
But that's just me.
And I think if we may have someone from Brazil listening right now, I think. So,
way
hello.
Cool.
Hello, Brazil. Hello,
hello,
Canada. Hello, all over the world. This is very exciting. So,
yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm trying my best to check the little pop-up
yes.
windows and different things. So
okay. But I think there's more to Nat's email, right? Or is that what
yes,
that
so, is? No, there okay. is. There is.
Sorry.
Okay. So, we continue. A... he must have figured out that something was wrong because she never called him James until that moment.
Mm-hmm.
B, we saw her hand the letter to him. We can assume that this is the letter James had wrote to Snow. True. And that's the kind of tough thing with these types of shows. She handed what looked like the letter to him.
Right.
Was that the letter? So anyway.
Yes, that's a great point. We don't know. We're assuming because it's what it looked like. But again, did she maybe respond back?
Right.
We don't know.
But what if it wasn't? What if it was a letter she had wrote to him? Perhaps it was telling him something or telling him what had happened. Perhaps she couldn't say it out loud because she was afraid his father was listening. And that is how he knew to come and find her. That's my theory, and that's actually a great theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent theory, because that would fit in with kind of the show, and also fit in with Snow's. She's crafty. That would be something she would.
She comes across as all sweet and innocent, but let's face facts. We've seen her be pretty devious and sneaky, and not in a malicious or bad way, but she's not a sweet little innocent.
Manny asked if. The king threw the letter in the fire. And from what I recall, he didn't. Snow handed James the letter and James crumpled it in his hand when the relationship at that point.
Yeah, she held her hand out, palm up, with the letter in it. And I thought for a minute he was going to grab her hand, and he kind of made it looked like he started to grab her hand, mm-hmm. and she let her hand drop, and then he grabbed the letter instead.
Yeah,
that's what I felt. Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. So the next email.
Well, but wait, before we jump on though, Helgemarie just tweeted and said, "But why drink the potion if she and James have any hope?" So. That's a good question because, yeah, I mean, if she wrote him a letter that said, come find me, I don't mean any of this, blah, 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 and that was his way to go find her, why would she drink the potion? But again, here's the other thing. Snow is pretty sneaky. Here's a really crazy ass theory. What if she dumped the potion out and is pretending she doesn't know who James is? Do you know what I'm saying? To fool the seven dwarves into thinking, I'm just a possibility.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing out there's crazy ass theory.
Well, yeah, that would kind of give her the upper hand. And if anyone asked anyone, including the dwarves,
right?
You know, is she still a threat? And they could say no.
Exactly.
She doesn't know who he is. There's this potion, whatever. No, that's interesting.
And she was in that room by herself. And so the dwarves didn't see, the other dwarves didn't see her take the potion, did they?
No.
I don't think they did.
No. And based on what we've seen in other shows, if you don't see them do it, and if you don't read what's in a note... Just because someone says it's a certain thing doesn't necessarily mean it.
Reminds me of the Princess Bride. At the end, when she said, oh, I'm sorry, I sort of got married. And he goes, did you, it didn't happen. She goes, yeah, well, yes, it did. I was there. And he goes, did you say I do? Well, no, then you didn't do it. So we don't know.
Well, and the question came up,
you didn't do it.
What would her motivation to lie to the dwarves be? And the motivation would be to keep the king from killing James.
Right, because that
was the whole thing.
Exactly.
So
that's the only thing. That's the only thing. And like I said, totally crazy ass theory. My honest to goodness feeling, gut feeling is that she absolutely did drink the potion. She never told James anything in the note. It was literally his note back. And the reason why is because she really does want to forget him. Because if it was all a fake, I mean, like I said, it could be. But if it was all a fake, then that means they could easily get back together again really quickly. And I think that's just too hopeful for this show. I don't think they have enough to drag it out for season upon season if they're, you know, together right up front. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where the writer's going with this.
Well, it was interesting that, you know, after that heartfelt sharing time that Grumpy had with her,
mm-hmm.
that she would turn around and drink the potion.
But you know what? When you are heartbroken, though,
when you are,
and back me up on this, girls, when you are really that heartbroken, you can't see straight. You can't think straight. You can't reason or logic.
Right.
You do whatever you can to get rid of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for her, that was the only thing she could see that would help her get rid of or ease her pain.
Well, you know, and some people are frustrated by it, but that's why I love this show is because it could be one of three or four or five different ways you can handle this, you know. So
exactly.
It's really cool. So now we have an email from Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
And... Let's see, let me go ahead and read it. Hello, Jeff and Colleen. I have to admit that I have been a listener of your podcast for quite some time now. It helped a lot during the hiatus. I don't really have anyone to discuss the show with. I'm a bit too invested in the show. And listening to you guys feel a lot like talking with a friend about a common interest. I actually laughed when in the last podcast it was Colleen and not Jeff who was gushing about Ruby. I've never felt that I had much to contribute to the discussion until that is now. Ever since the good sheriff passed away, people have been searching for a character whose fairy tale identity we could puzzle over. we latched onto Dr. Whale for a while, but then someone a lot more interesting blew through town. And much like some of the residents of Storybrooke, we were captivated by this new stranger. I have seen many theories about the stranger floating around. They pretty much cover every possible identity and future role he might have. For a character that has only been in three scenes, four if you count Regina and Emma discussing him, that is quite an impressive feat. And I totally agree.
Oh, yeah.
Here's something I noticed that I haven't seen mentioned anywhere. Shortly before True North aired, I was rewatching the pilot episode and saw that in the scene where Emma first drives through Storybrooke, there is a shot of a red traffic light. Oh, wow. Yeah. At the time, though, cute. At the time, I thought that was cute. But then in the scene where the stranger drives into town, there's a familiar shot of a green traffic light. Add to the fact that Regina finds him familiar, and I can't help but think that he is in fact from the Enchanted Forest, but stuck outside Storybrooke, circling the area for the past 28 years, searching for a way in. It gives his little speech about his box a whole nother level. As to how he got there, he might have been hit by the Queen's first attempt at the Dark Curse, the one that seemed to be working until it failed. Maybe it was too weak to affect the forest, but had just enough juice to transport that one person into the world where he doesn't belong, always searching, never knowing. And that is interesting. It reminds me of Lost, just wandering and can't get to wherever they need to get to. So so what do you think? Too crazy? Not crazy enough? I can make it crazier. No, we can make it crazier. Now, who have we seen around the outskirts of Storybrooke that has taken a special interest in our leather-clad savior? This is what a great email. I'll give you a hint. We've seen him in the pilot, but never after that. Have you noticed that tooth the stranger wears around his neck? Oh, that's interesting. I have to say the speculation is one of the things I enjoy the most about the show. The only thing I like better is the character development. There is a scene in the last episode, 7:15 a.m., where Prince James and King George discuss the crown. You get that they both have valid points about the value of the crown and what it means to the people. And even though I think he is a complete and utter insert expletive here, I find the king's view is more big picture and long term. Than the princes. James is still a little too the shepherd to lead. It makes sense that he would want to run away with Snow White. He's definitely not yet the man who would send his newborn daughter away alone to fend for herself in the hope that she may come back and save the entire kingdom. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. One last thing. Are you still doing the multilingual promotion for the podcast? And Miriam actually can translate into Arabic, and I will get back to you. And yes, we are still doing that, so thank you so much.
Yes, that is awesome.
So, what do you think?
Well, a lot of things. First of all, yes, I totally agree with her because, yeah, there's some pretty wild stuff with Mr. Stranger Dude. Now, here's the thing, though. I, for the life of me, cannot remember who it was that was in the pilot, but we haven't seen them since. I'm racking my brain, literally racking my brain, and I cannot come up with an answer. Can anybody else remember that? Because that's making me nuts a little bit. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about who she said in the email who was interested in Emma from the pilot that we haven't seen. I'm having trouble speaking right now. Do you know what I'm talking about? Hello?
No.
She said, read through the middle of the paragraph. She talked about somebody who was interested in the leather-clad savior who we saw in the pilot, but we haven't seen since. And I'm trying to think, who do we see? I'm going nuts.
Yeah.
So if anybody can remember that, wow.
I mean, the only thing that we haven't really seen since is that dragon.
I mean, No. There has to be somebody else in that we haven't seen.
Okay.
That had an interest in her. And I'm thinking, who?
Anyway. Miriam, help us, please.
Yeah.
Just email back.
Unless somebody else can
tell. If you're listening, just do whatever. Send the dove. Get Mary Margaret to do something.
Kidding. Carrier pigeon.
We need some help. Boy.
Yeah. So, anywho. Fascinating information in her email. I really liked it.
And I will be getting in touch with you about the translation. Thank you so very much.
Yes, that's awesome. Okay. So, while I'm sitting here, I got a question from Shannon, who asked what my idea about Snow looking super fancy. And I'm thinking, are you talking about when she was in the dwarves' cabin in the bed? Because that's the only time I thought she would look what I would consider fancy.
Yeah,
and if that's possibly the case, I thought she looked extraordinarily pretty in that bed, just very innocent and sweet, and that's why she's the fairest in the land. So I thought it was interesting. And again, we have no idea how much time has passed. Well, actually, we kind of do. It's at least been at least 24 hours.
Yep.
That scene was at least 24 hours. Maybe mm-hmm. 2 days, but 24 hours.
So Manny and Shannon actually brought up somebody that we saw in the pilot, but we haven't seen since.
Oh, who's that?
It was the gentleman that in the blind date.
Oh, that guy. That guy.
So.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. And it's hard to tell whether he was just a throwaway character to kind of establish what her profession was, or if he is, you know, somebody in Storybrooke fairy tale world. I kind of think he might have been a throwaway character, but you never know. Just saying.
With this show, you never know.
Yes. So. And Patty, yes, I know. She agrees with me about the whole, you know, when your heart is broken, you kind of do just about anything. And
true.
And she's had her share of heartbreak. And yeah. Yep. And yep. I sympathize. I do.
Yep.
I had heartbreak so bad back in my early 20s where...
She married me.
No, I married you later. But before I married you, before I even met you, I had a heartbreak so bad that I got ulcers from it. That's how bad it was.
That's very bad.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. But I haven't had...
Now I turn you to knitting. I guess that's better. Okay.
Knitting. So. It's my new motto in life. Knitting is better than ulcers.
Oh, yeah. That works. Did you want to read a few emails?
I purposely had them in order, so I want you to finish your right. stack, and then okay. I'll go mine.
I will read the next one. This is from Malini. Thank you, Malini. I just have some thoughts and theories on episode 10, 7:15 a.m. It doesn't really have anything to do with the storyline, but I just found it interesting that Mary Margaret has become a little more technologically advanced since Emma moved in. She now has a TV, coffee maker, and mm-hmm. a cordless phone. She used to have an old-style phone with a round dial. That's right. Yep.
Yep.
And yep. And I think the most surprising is the car. I never saw her as the car type. She was more of the walking type. Just for fun. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a valid point.
She had a nice, like, Jeep or suburban-y looking SUV, if I remember right.
And just like we kind of talked about before, Emma had brought in some interesting items because there was this iPhone-ish, it's probably an iTouch, iPod Touch or something, that she set into an iHome base.
Mm.
And that's what was playing the song when she was breaking the toaster. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting that it's kind of, everything is being updated slowly around. But that's a great point. Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Number two, I originally thought when I first saw, when I first watched Snow Falls, that the fairy dust Snow used to save James from the trolls came from Rumpelstiltskin. But after this episode, where the events happen after Snow falls in the timeline, my theory was wrong since Snow first met Rumpel in the last episode. Where do you think the fairy dust comes from? Maybe the blue fairy. And that could be. But I think actually it came from Maleficent to the Evil Queen, and I think Snow maybe got it from her.
I don't think. I think if she got it from anybody, I honestly, truly believe she got it from Maleficent, not the Queen.
Okay.
Because she doesn't. She said, "You don't." The person this came, where this came from, is pretty bad, if I remember right. So I don't think she, I mean, but she indicated a fairy, and the queen is not a fairy. She's just an evil witch.
Right. Well, yeah, but what it initially came from Maleficent, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I don't think she would have gotten it from the queen if that's who she was intending to use it on.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
I think she went to Maleficent somehow. I think we'll see an interaction with her and Maleficent at some point.
Yep.
Just my thought.
I still want to know what's going on with that dragon in the pilot episode. You know, it's been bothering me. That bothers me just about as much as that sweeper woman.
You're worried
in front
about
of the boarded up library.
I think the dragon's okay.
I want to know more about the dragon. It was a pink dragon, or it looked purple, kind of, or something.
No, it looked kind of tan, beige-ish to me.
All right, but it wasn't the green dragon.
No, it wasn't that weird. Yeah, that really weird just, metallic green.
Just saying. Okay.
But maybe it like has moods and it changed colors.
Maybe. Now you're being silly.
Well, yeah, because it's our live show. That's our silly show.
That's true. So at number three, I noticed that the way Snow first met Grumpy is the same way her daughter Emma met Leroy.
Yes.
Very true.
Yes.
Both pairs were stuck in a jail together, and Grumpy / Leroy said the same thing to both Snow and Emma. What are you looking at, sister? And hi, Lee Ehrenberg, if you're listening right now. Just in case you are. Hello. Great job on the episode. So, the next number four is, as for the identity of the mysterious stranger, when Regina was talking to Emma, she said that there is something familiar about the stranger. Maybe he was familiar because Regina had seen him before, but doesn't remember him since he was a child and the last time Regina saw him. He was a child the last time Regina saw him. My crazy theory here is I think the mysterious stranger is Pinocchio.
Okay.
In Storybrooke, Marco said that he doesn't have children so far. As I know, Pinocchio is not in Storybrooke. Maybe there was a way that Pinocchio escaped through the wardrobe before Emma did. The wardrobe can only save one, and technically speaking, a child and a newborn hardly counts as one person. I also think that maybe Pinocchio was the boy who found Emma on the side of the road since he escaped first. Again, this is an out-of-the-box crazy theory, but I just could not help myself. No, it's, you know.
Yeah. There's always room for crazy theories.
Sure.
And I like the idea that he's possibly Pinocchio. How he got out? That's interesting. I mean, I suppose you could look at it that he and, you know, the baby would have been considered one whole person since they're kind of small. Because it said one person. It didn't mean that it, you know, one adult maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Two children equal one adult? I have no idea. Yep. But it wouldn't surprise me if that's who he is. Be kind of cool.
Yep. Number five, when I first saw the title 715 and did not see any previews or read any press release for this episode, my first thought that we were finally going to see how Regina placed people in Storybrooke. The clock stopped at 8:15, and since the title was 7:15, I thought we were going to see the hour leading up to the curse. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
When time finally stopped. Do you think we're ever going to see an episode like this in the future? I definitely think so.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I think they've got to show what leads up to how they get there. Okay, so here's an email from Christina. And she says, hi, this is Christina from West Virginia. I was just listening to your live podcast, lovely, by the way, and the part about the stranger possibly being a guard for the queen. That made me remember that Regina did say that he looked familiar, possibly from either of the two worlds, but I would think Regina would remember if he was a guard of hers, since we obviously know she remembers her fairy tale life. I just thought I would send an email about it and say you guys are doing a fantastic job on this podcast, and I can't wait to listen to more. Well, thank you, Christina.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I would think she would remember it. But here's the funny thing. How much does she remember? Do you know what I mean? Because if she got transported, we know she knows who she is. We're pretty sure she knows who she is. We're pretty sure she knows who Gold is. But there's kind of this sense of she doesn't have full, like, she hasn't got all the puzzle pieces. You know what I mean? She's got some and she kind of gets it, but I don't know if she has all the puzzle pieces together. I could be wrong, but I agree with you. If he was one of her guards, she would remember him, I would think. I would hope. You never know.
Yep.
Okay. So, Tammy sends us an email. Tammy in Pennsylvania. Hi, I just wanted to send you a quick email with my theory on the stranger. After watching tonight's episode, I was thinking maybe he's the author of Henry's fairy tale book. I'm enjoying your podcast and look forward to hearing your thoughts on the new episode. So yeah, that has been a theory that we've floated around. And we go back and forth on that. I kind of think he is the author of the book, and I know a few other people disagree with me. And I think you're one of them. Are you not, my sweet?
Well, I go back and forth on it, so.
I know, because on the one hand, and I totally get this, on the one hand, it's kind of an obvious pull.
Right.
Because the typewriter would be such a great red herring anyway. And maybe he's not. But I'm trying to think, who else could he be? I don't know. I don't even know if the typewriter means anything. So, but yeah, no, good theory, Tammy. And we'll kind of hopefully see how that plays out in the next few episodes. Okay. The next one we have is from Brian. Brian in Texas, if I remember. Yep, Brian in Dallas. He says, hi, Jeff and Colleen. Your natural husband and wife rapport makes your podcast both informative and entertaining. It's very George and Gracie. Say goodnight, Gracie. Sorry. I'm afraid, you know, the sad part is I'm afraid that some of our listeners won't get that reference because it's, I mean, it's older than I am.
Yeah.
And so.
But I got it though.
I know you did, but you and I are also older than, we're a bit older than people.
I remember
think we
when
are.
TV was black and white.
as one reviewer on iTunes put it, we're an old married couple.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't even know how old we are. We're not ancient. We're just not. You know, we're not that young. Anyway, so he says, now I know there's much speculation about who the new stranger is. So he provided a link that might give more details and it's a little spoily. So I'm going to have to say I'm not going to talk about it. But for me personally, I'm less concerned about who he is and more obsessed with why is he in Storybook.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like people just randomly visit that town. My guess is he's looking for someone, maybe his daughter. Now, here's the thing. He did go out and get some information that was the casting call for the stranger, okay? And here's what it is. This is what the actual casting call said. Name, Jefferson. So, interesting. Late 20s to mid-30s, a rakishly handsome former criminal who in fairy tale land has given up his life of crime and dedicated himself to his daughter. While in Storybrooke, he is a dangerous and mysterious figure who knows about the curse and attempts to convince Emma that it is real. Guest star, any ethnicity. Interesting. So anybody, you know, anyway, he talks about the fact that anybody can Google Once Upon a Time spoilers and discover, you know, a plethora of information, but you have to consider the source. So that's why he follows us, because we're credible. Anyway, he says, furthermore, I'm sure the producers throw out misinformation to keep us oncers guessing, which is good. It provides an element of surprise. And thanks for again for all you do, especially considering your demanding IT careers and work schedule. And then he also gave a PS, love the layout and design of your new fan form. It's very organized. More importantly, it's great having one podcast, one blog, and one form all in one website. So thank you very much, Brian. And yes, we have very busy schedules, as I'm sure most of you have figured out. Yeah, spoilers on the, a little bit of spoiler, but not much because I mean, it's out there.
Right.
So we'll see what comes of.
And Brian, you're far too kind about being credible. We need everybody to keep us on the straight and narrow. So
that is true.
You're very kind, but it takes all of us together. So otherwise people say the book was Moby Dick she was reading, but actually it was Mysterious Island.
Oh, wait. That was you then.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just kidding.
That
come on.
Is
it was open. Yeah.
No, I know.
You set me up. Yeah. I had to say something. Anywho. So,
yeah, the question came up. That was the stranger's casting call that we read.
Yeah. That was very interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was a very interesting thing.
Okay.
Okay. This next one is from Obie's Girl. And this is a great email, by the way. So she says, I watched once episode 7:15 a.m. the other night. Good episode, but there were a couple things that made her laugh. First of all, the storm. I listened to your First Thoughts episode on 7:17 a.m. on my way to work about how the storm reflected Mary Margaret's feelings for David and Storybrooke. That was not my first thought. I actually rolled my eyes at the storm. Like I said in the forum, I watch soap operas, and OMG, you would not believe how the writers on soaps I watch abuse thunderstorm cliches. Mm. Because every time a storm happens, and it's always funny how they make a big issue of one coming, something big always happens, and it'll be something that changes the course of the story. Forever. Of course, forever in soaps is irrelevant, and I'm thinking the same will be for our characters on Once Upon a Time. I grew up watching soap operas. My mom watched and still kind of does. I think there's one left that she watches. And by the way, you're absolutely right. They have no sense of time. They have no sense of reality or anything even remotely close to reality on soaps. So I totally get what she's talking about. She says, I know I'm skipping ahead here a bit, but I don't think the kiss between Mary Margaret and David will mean a happy ending for them. Something will happen to drive them apart again, because if you think about it, putting them together so soon and too early in the game, that's not interesting to watch. Plus, like you said in an earlier episode, love means more when you have to overcome so many obstacles. Mary Margaret and David need to go through more heartbreak before they can be together. It was nice to see them kissing, but I like my angst because it makes for a better story. I agree. Mm-hmm. As heartbreaking as it was to watch them be torn apart, it does make for much better TV and much better story to see what obstacles they have to overcome. And like she said, it bonds and strengthens the bond between the two of them, making their love even stronger, which they need in order to survive the bad curse.
Yep.
Who is the stranger? I wanted to say how happy I was to hear you say, Jeff, that the stranger is not the author of Henry's book. I had a discussion with my boyfriend after we watched the episode, and we had opposite opinions on this. I think Rumpelstiltskin wrote Henry's book because he's involved in almost every fairy tale story we have seen. But my boyfriend thought that the stranger was the one who wrote Henry's book because he carries around with him that old typewriter. I'm not convinced of the latter theory because that would be too easy of a connection to make. The stranger says he's a writer, but that typewriter could also be a red herring as well. And again, true. Like we just said, there's.
I actually hope it's a red herring.
I kind of hope it is too, on some level, just because I think that would make for such an amazing twist.
Yeah.
Because let's face facts. If it's so predictable, then you all of a sudden go, well, I know where it's going. What's the point of watching? But when they throw, and that's the thing I love the most about Lost, is that you were going along an episode, they hooked you, and all of a sudden they just slammed something in your face, and you were like, what? Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that. And then you sat there and thought about it and went, oh, I see how they got there. I see what they did, you know, and it made for better TV. That's just me.
Yeah.
I think we can rule out the possibility that the stranger is Henry's father because Emma didn't show any indication that she knew who he was. Even Regina was a bit clueless. And I tend to agree. I don't think he's Henry's father at all. That would be, first of all, too easy. Secondly, there was no recognition, and Emma doesn't have amnesia about his father. So
Okay. That's
just my theory.
Yep.
About Regina, in that same scene where she asks Emma to research the stranger, she made a comment that the stranger seemed familiar to her, and that maybe that made me think that maybe we met the evil queen's lover. And if the stranger is a fairy tale character, how was he able to escape the curse? I think Rumpelstiltskin helped him escape, but the stranger could also be the little boy who found Emma on the side of the road when she arrived in the real world via the wardrobe. That is a fascinating theory.
Hmm.
Because if in fact he is Regina's lover, how did he escape the curse? Rumpelstiltskin? Or, I mean, there's so many possibilities. I think it's very fascinating. Very fascinating thought.
Right.
So, and if he's not her lover, whoever he is, him being the little boy that found Emma would be pretty perfect.
Sure.
Be a perfect fit. And it would make sense because maybe and the only reason why, and I think somebody actually said this in another email or in a voicemail, that if in fact he was the little boy that helped Emma, the reason why he can get into Storybrooke is because of the connection he had with Emma. He touched the wardrobe and that, you know what I'm saying?
Because
he had to have opened it, right?
Yeah.
So if he opened the wardrobe and she came out of it, you know what I'm saying? We don't know. I mean, we're assuming she was in the wardrobe when she was found on the side of the road. We don't know. I think that's how we're going to see it, is that he's going to see the wardrobe And he's going to, you know, curious little boy, and he's going to go and open up the doors.
Now, whoa, whoa, whoa.
What?
Wardrobe in Storybrooke?
Yeah. Mm. Outside of Storybrooke.
No.
Wait.
They're just deposited there. There's no.
Hold on. Emma was put in the wardrobe.
Right.
And it transported her outside.
Right.
Wherever she was found on the side of the road, I think it was probably right outside Storybrooke.
Right.
Somehow.
Right.
That just fits with everything we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if she was found in the wardrobe right outside of it, he was outside. The 7-year-old boy probably saw the wardrobe on the side of the road.
And opened the doors. No. The wardrobe was still in Fairy Tale Land.
Oh, you're right.
They broke it open and found nothing. It's just a portal. It just sent her.
Okay.
Because the way I've always seen it in my mind is she was just there on the side of the road in the blanket. Just there.
Yes.
And then it sounds like the 7-year-old boy came by and found this little baby. So.
No, you're absolutely right. Totally forgot. So, okay. Anyway, scratch that last little bit. Here's another point. Mr. Gold has been in every episode since the pilot, but he was nowhere to be seen at all in this episode, 7:15 a.m. Rumpelstiltskin was in it for a very short period of time. Mr. Gold was not. And that's fascinating. And then she says, I thought as soon as the dwarf Stealthy popped up that he wasn't going to last very long. Me too. I was right since he was quickly killed off. I think the writers needed Stealthy so they could create a mutual bond between the dwarves and Snow White. But I think they could have sent in one of the original 7 dwarves to rescue Grumpy instead of him. And I would agree. I think that was a ploy to, you know, establish their grief, their bond, that, you know, connection, what have you. And then she says, more about the scene in the jail cell between Grumpy and Snow White. She felt like when Snow White said that she hoped Grumpy would find his love, she purposely said that knowing that Grumpy would take pity on her. I could be wrong. Snow could have been completely honest and sincere. The funny thing is like I said earlier, Snow has the capacity, the ability, and the talent for making you think she's very sweet and innocent when she's really not. I don't know. I want to believe that she was being very sincere and honest, but I could see where she could very easily have done that, manipulating him. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Knowing he would take pity on her. But again, hard to say.
Well, and too, what I enjoyed about Snow White in that cell, I think we saw a lot in that, just that scene alone. She was crawling up the rocks. I mean, she is not the kind of give up and... I mean, she's reaching around and trying to open the lock. I mean, she was not the damsel in distress. You know,
right. No.
Fall down crying. No. And just, oh, help me. Someone help me. She was like, I'm going to get out of here. You know, Grumpy's like, don't even try. And he goes, I ain't listening to you. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to try to crawl up the rocks. That was really cool.
She was willing to do anything. And you know, she was in a little bit of a hurry there.
Well, there's strong female roles in this show.
There are.
You know, so.
That's true. We've said that all along. Speaking of King George, I do not like him. Me either.
Yeah.
He is not a nice guy. And I think you're right, Jeff, that there's more going on with him than he watched his son die. He's a bitter, mean, grumpy old man for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, and I agree. And I think part of it is the, you know, the wife couldn't have kids and... There's more to him than meets the eye. There really is. He's not a nice man. Although, on the flip side, I kind of agree with what was said earlier in the email where, you know, the crown, the two viewpoints of the crown, you know, you could feed a village, you know, feast for that, you know.
Right.
We could do a lot more than that, you know what I mean? It was, anyway, if you marry the daughter, we can do more.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting that somebody as bitter and mean and grumpy as he is and nasty as he is, he had the greater good in mind.
It was interesting because he was dealing.
Oh, he was totally dealing.
You know what I'm saying?
He was.
Deals are just the thread through this whole thing.
Oh, sure they are. Yeah. Sure they are. I thought for a moment when we saw Snow White wearing that white bed gown that it was the same gown that we saw her wearing in the pilot, but I went back and looked at a screen cap. There was a bit of gold on the bed gown, whereas the one she wore in the pilot opener was all white, so it's not the same outfit.
Hmm.
And yeah, I was kind of thinking, okay, is it the same gown they bury her in that she's in the coffin?
That had feathers.
Feathers and ruffles?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And that's where I've just, it's been a while since I've taken a peek at the screen caps for that, so I just didn't know. But yeah, it was, either way, I mean, the costuming in this show is really amazing.
True.
What's funny is, and of course I'm looking at it now from different eyes, is the hat that Grumpy was wearing. That looked like a very, very well-crafted hand-knit hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a really interesting spiral pattern on the top.
Well, Helga can speak kind of more directly to it, but
yeah.
The fantastic knitters
mm-hmm.
in the Vancouver area have been providing a number of
items.
Yes.
Yes, they have. So, yep. Awesome.
Yep.
Let's see. Here we go. Oh, how sad was it that she took the potion Rumple gave her after all, to erase her memory, Prince Charming. That scene was so heartbreaking because I'd hoped after Grumpy's speech to her about love and pain in the cell that she took what he said to heart. But I guess the day after the loss was too great for her to bear and she chose to drink the potion. And again, we're assuming she drank it.
Right.
We didn't see her drink it. And as we know, she probably did. I'm just throwing it out there. But what if she didn't? What if she's faking it? We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. But as we've seen in True North, the evil queen now in possession of the poisonous apple, I think Snow White choosing to erase her own memory will explain why the evil queen was able to give her the apple with such ease and persuade Snow to eat it, like from the Disney movie. It's because she lost her memories of Prince Charming, and can we also assume every other happy moment in her life? Does Snow White have amnesia now? Hmm. Interesting. I don't know if she has amnesia. Oh, I lost hearing in one ear.
Yeah.
I don't know if she has full amnesia. I think she's got stuff erased or blocked. See, I think it's blocked.
Well, okay. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. Is from the moment she drank the potion, let's say she did,
mm-hmm.
from that moment until she is rescued from her coffin, we don't know what happened from that point to the end. To that point.
Right.
So there's all this room for 8 seasons of kind of filling in the blanks with all kind of really cool stories and that kind of a thing.
Well, and here's the other thing. Oh, here's a little interesting tidbit to throw out. What if... Okay, let's go down this path. She drank the potion, which means she won't remember James, right? Mm-hmm. She didn't remember him at all. But Rumple told her it would take away the pain. She wouldn't remember, right?
Right.
How long did it last? How long did that potion last?
Hmm.
Now, here's the other thing. Remember, he kept a hair of hers. And I still say that at some point in time, he's going to use that to either bring back her memories or do something to jar them somehow or do... Anyway, whether she drinks another potion to bring back the memories, I don't know. But here's the thing. So she's going along. She doesn't remember James. She meets the old woman in the woods, or the evil queen somehow disguised. She gets the poison apple. She falls asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's that true love's kiss will break that spell and would return her memories to her. Because remember, what did she say when he kissed her?
That's valid. Yep.
She looked up at him and goes, "You." Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I keep losing my left ear.
So, Greg... No, your ear is fine. So, Greg on the comments on Mixlr said that she seems to remember her own name when Grumpy was talking to her. And that's true.
She does.
So, to me, the specificness of that potion was that she would forget
James. Right.
So, you know, based on that, if that's exactly what she did, then that's why she knows who she is and the dwarves, but mm-hmm. not James.
And here's an even crazier little addition to that theory. So if, in fact, she can't remember James, she takes the poison apple, she falls asleep. When he wakes her up, what if the reason why his kiss wakes her up is because Rumple gives him a potion and says, you have to drink this in order to wake her. You have to kiss her and it has to work. And so maybe because the hair that he had from her, he gives it to James and that overpowers everything else.
Hmm.
Just a thought.
Yep.
Okay. Promise getting to the end. On a side note, it was awesome to hear Rumple's crazy laugh and twice in the same scene, as well as him saying dearie to Snow White. And I agree, because I just love him to pieces. So, can't wait to hear your thoughts on the podcast, and I look forward to the new episode of Once Upon a Time. Thanks, Obie's Girl.
Yes, yes.
Yay. Okay. This is our last email.
Yay.
What?
Because I just don't know what's happening on the other end. I don't know if people are sleeping or I don't know what's happening.
I haven't seen a lot of posts coming through, and maybe you're seeing more on there. I'm not seeing as many on here, and maybe we don't have as many live listeners as we normally do. I don't know.
Okay. I care about the time, and I know, and we always try and kind of keep it. Anyway, so.
We do. But this one's a really cool email that I think everybody's going to really like.
Okay. So I have some sounds, and we'll see how fast they play.
Yes.
Because we're kind of pinged out, so we'll see.
Okay. Here we go. Dear Colleen and your male counterpart. Sorry, my little Wookiee just... Wow, that was awesome.
Oh, boy. Well,
I can't help it. Then. It was a gurgle.
We're real people.
We're not...
We are failed people. We make mistakes, and we're just... Anyway, silly.
We're not animatronics, I promise.
Nope.
Okay, let me start that over again. Dear Colleen and your male counterpart, I don't know your husband's name because he always forgets to introduce himself at the beginning of the podcast. Thank you. This is from Jonathan, by the way.
Okay.
I'm an avid entertainment junkie. I watch every show and movie imaginable and listen to many, many podcasts. I would like to mention that I have never written an email nor contacted a single podcast before in my life until now. The two of you run an interesting podcast, and it's very laid back, therefore making it quite enjoyable. I will be sending you a top five for every episode. These are top five moments of the episode. Doesn't matter if they're great moments or terrible moments. They might be things that the two of you have already covered during your first thoughts episode, but hopefully we can discover them over your fan podcast episode that you do later in the week. I noticed that I missed your fan podcast that was released today, but I will try to get my first thoughts on this episode this Sunday night. I live in the Great White North, so I watch the episode on Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. His top five from 7:15 a.m. Alan Dale is a master of his craft. He can act, and you just have to love the way he delivers the word boy. He would refer to Desmond in Lost as boy, and also referred to James as boy in this episode. And for those who don't know, Alan Dale is King George. He's the actor who plays King George.
You gotta say, you didn't say number one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or number five or whatever.
Would you like me to do that again? Number five. I think I said that. Alan Dale is a master of his craft. He can act, and you just have to love the way he delivers the word boy. He would refer to Desmond in Lost as boy, and also refer to James as boy in this episode.
Cool.
Yes, I agree. And for those who don't know, Alan Dale is the actor who plays King George. What?
Nothing.
Okay, number four. When Mary Margaret almost falls off the cliff and David saves her, they head back up the hill. And where's her car? Where's his car? And if their cars were actually there and just off camera slightly, they would be much closer than running through the forest and finding the cabin, would they not? Interesting thought. I kind of did wonder, why are they looking for someplace to go? Where are their cars? I did wonder that. But then I was thinking, didn't she kind of wander kind of a ways away? Who knows? Number three. Rumple was absolutely amazing. It goes to show what one character and or actor can bring to a show in just about 90 seconds of airtime. I wholeheartedly agree. But then, I love Rumple. Number two. When Mary and David ran up to the cabin in the woods during the big storm, it is locked and James kicks in the door. In other words, smashing the lock and hinge. Yet, they walk into the cabin, and he closes the door behind them, and it clicks right back in without any problem. It closes perfectly. I have to agree. It's funny how that worked.
Yep.
But it is storybook.
True.
And it is fairy tale world, so magical things happen.
Yep.
It's the only explanation I have for it. And number one. Stealthy? Unbelievable. I really don't have anything much else to say about Stealthy that hasn't already been said. I was laughing hysterically, just as Colleen was at his name. And that's the top five from 7:15 a.m.
Excellent.
He says, anyways, I will keep in touch weekly and give you a different perspective on some thoughts regarding OUAT. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Johnny.
All right. Well, that's it. We tried a couple of things, and some things probably won't return.
I don't think so.
Nope. So thanks for putting up with it. Some things may not even make it to the posted show.
Show.
So
okay.
So maybe some of you will have heard this, you know, special edited that won't see the light of day.
Hey, we've got a couple of posts here, so I'm glad we've got some people saying stuff. Melanie was confirming that they're still there, and Helga Marie says that she is still listening and knitting, and Max and EJ are listening too. And Max is her husband, EJ is her little boy, so cute. Excellent. And so we're happy that they can listen with you. And then, let's see, Shannon said, hey, I love your theories to me. Mm-hmm. She wasn't talking to you, she was talking to me.
Okay.
Sorry, honey, I'm just being sassy, what can I say? And then Melini loves the live shows. She thinks we're really cool. I think she's pretty cool, too. And, yeah, those are the things I've got so far.
Cool. So yeah, I think I've made some decisions that will make things a little smoother next time.
Well, you know, look.
The interaction is tough. So
well, unless you're paying attention.
Well, I was paying attention.
Okay, well, then there you have it. I don't think the interaction. I think the quiz might be a little difficult.
Yeah,
that gets a little tricky, especially if you're expecting folks to, like, Google stuff.
Yeah. So hang in there. This is not going to be the way it's going to be for the rest of time.
No.
We just wanted to try some things. So I think next time we'll kind of go back to what we did before, mm-hmm. kind of more straightforward. And we love the things that pop up. We love the Twitter mm-hmm. Posts that come up and the little comments. I do my best to kind of integrate them. And but thanks for everybody for joining us tonight. Thanks, Greg.
Yes.
And so many new people. SCO Boot, thank you so much.
Nice.
Helga's there. Nat's there. Michelle is there. And just so...
Shannon, Brenda.
Shannon.
Melanie.
Torty Prism is there.
We got a few.
So many great folks joining us.
And by the way, Shannon loves you too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And here's a good point. Brenda brought up that you can follow Stealthy, the guy who played Stealthy, on Twitter as well. So now, interestingly though, the Twitter account that you gave Brenda... I don't know if that's his. Or maybe it is. I can't tell because that may be him. Oh, yeah, it is. It's him. It's Jeff Gustafson. That's his name. So, or Gustafson, however you say his name. So that's right. And then Nat loves us. We love her, too.
Yep.
We love everybody.
Big love to everybody. Thanks, Red Red Shoes.
Oh, hi.
Fantastic. So... anyway, thanks so much for showing up and just kind of working through this. You know, we're retooling. We're gonna fix some things, but
we're all about try something.
Yeah,
if it doesn't work,
don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
Move
if
forward.
It does, keep doing it.
Right, right.
Because as my grandpappy used to say to me, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yep. So thanks so much, and. I'm so excited. Tomorrow night, we're all going to be huddled around our TVs.
No, we won't.
Well, you won't. I'm sorry.
I won't be.
You will
I'm
be
sad.
Leaving, and I will be alone here.
And sad.
I will be alone watching by myself.
I know. I
and
know.
There'll be one voice doing first thoughts tomorrow. Just one.
I know.
So please bear with me, and I'll do the best I can.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it. Thank you very much for showing up. And, you know, give us some feedback. I think we're going to cut out the quiz on the live show, and we're not going to do any more comedy bits. And
we just need to do different ones.
Well, I think the comedy bits will come within the reading of the emails and the answering the little mm-hmm. funny things, but not that way.
Yeah, would it help if you read the emails in like funny voices?
I don't think so. I just don't think so.
Well, maybe. Some parts of it might be. I don't know. Mm. I wasn't quite like crazy like I was the other night. I wasn't in the mood to sing opera, but
yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, she was singing opera down the hall.
I mean, it was something. It wasn't that. Okay, no. Just to kind of clarify, just because it was funny, I was in a very weird mood, and so I didn't even speak to you in actual words. Yeah. Literally everything I said to you from pretty much the time I got home from work till bedtime was singing. I sang everything to you. I didn't speak at all. I just sang everything in very loud operatic voice.
Yeah.
Because I was in really good voice. Mm-hmm. The acoustics down our hall are amazing, by the way. And I just was in this really good voice, and it was, sometimes my voice is not always there.
Well, okay. So there's a lot of comments about a conference call and different things. If you could email me the ideas of how to do that, because in my past experience, when you get Skype and you get a number of people on, the quality degrades because it's using up all this bandwidth.
Right.
TalkShoe is another way to do it. But that's really kind of, it's really the sound is not as good. Right. So send me ways to do that. We're kind of open to it, but we kind of are falling into a pattern of this is what we do. Maybe once in a while we could do kind of a conference call and kind of talk about that. But anyway, so that's we kind of want to move forward with what we're doing. But I am open to new ideas, and maybe once in a while we'll try it, kind of like what we tried some things tonight. See if it works. Yeah. If it works, then that'll be cool.
Yeah.
But so anyway, email at feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And let me know what you think, and we'll see if we can put it together.
Yeah,
so.
And shout out to Tyler. He's also here, too.
Oh, hey, Tyler, thanks so much, man.
And he also
was out running errands. And he said, time to run errands and get back in time for the show. So
oh, nice.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, he said, as Cogsworth would say, if it's not Baroque, don't fix it, which is a funny little
true
joke.
And I did see a number of people in the courtyard when Snow White was sneaking in with the flowers.
Yes.
That I thought looked like
characters from
Beauty and the Beast, yeah, and that kind of a thing. So,
yeah. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
So, let me know. Go ahead and please email me about conference calls or different ideas and that kind of thing. But this works fairly well. I do think there's a lag with Twitter for me, so it's kind of hard to kind of keep.
Well,
I may just use the iPhone.
I was going to say, for the Twitter piece, you might want to do your iPhone. Yep. I'm on my iPhone because I don't have a computer in here. My computer's in the other room. But Twitter, I just keep having to kind of just refresh every couple seconds or so or whatever.
Yeah.
And it works just fine. So you might want to do that because, if you've got multiple windows, if that's the chat room right there for Mixlr.
It's down here.
Okay. So either way, you need to.
Anyway, we're open for suggestions and all that, but so let us know, and we'll see what we can do. So, okay.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
Thanks so much for tuning in, guys, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
And see you later. Bye-bye.